Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington. Each week, we have a chance to talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And I'm really pleased to have our good friend, Tamara Lowenthal, who's the director of LEAF here in Bloomington. Good morning, Tamara.
Morning, Denise. Happy to be here.
Wonderful to have you. So, you know, it sounds funny. We just had, you know, June 21st was, you know, official start of summer, and you guys have a sort of revised event coming up, don't you?
We do. Summer Night of Lotus.
What is Summer Night of Lotus? Yeah, tell us more about that.
Summer Night of Lotus is kind of a revised fundraiser for our organization. Normally, or in many years, we've done something called Edible Lotus, where people sit down for a meal together. And this year, because of, we're just kind of coming out of pandemic year, mm-hmm. realizing that people cannot necessarily eat plated food together, which is our normal event, we kind of thought it would be nice to get together, hear some music, visit with each other, have some drinks, but not necessarily have food be the center, have music and togetherness mm-hmm. be the center of that activity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great idea. And I know people have really enjoyed that whole mingling and chatting and catching up with old new friends anyway.
Yeah, it's a really nice event. It's at Deer Park Manor, so the setting itself is beautiful. And then again, some years music has not been the center, but this year making music the center, being able to mm-hmm. dance to it, being able to visit, slightly more informal.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds really fun. And so that's coming up on July 15th, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And it'll also start just a little bit later. Doors open at 6:30, music starts at 7, because again, we want to make sure people have a chance to eat, but not necessarily make eating the focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a great event. And so, you know, you've mentioned Lotus Fest, of course, and like many things, I know LEAF is a nonprofit. So is the Summer Night to help support Lotus Fest?
Summer Night is to help support the Lotus Festival, but even more than that, just to support Lotus activities in general. You know, every spring we do this program called Lotus Blossoms, which is 4 weeks of intensive community outreach where we bring artists into town. And they go to many different schools and retirement communities and clubs, service clubs, to perform and to share. It's especially important to us for people who can't get out to our events if we bring the events to them. Mm-hmm. And so this fundraiser covers just the multitude of programming that we do.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more while you're on that about your mission and how you connect with artists in the community.
Okay, so the mission is really, I should be able to spout the mission back to you, but it's to create and nurture the experience of global music in the Bloomington community and in South Central Indiana. We know that we live somewhat removed. The Midwest as a whole is somewhat removed, and then especially the middle of the Midwest from urban centers where we get exposure to lots of different kinds of music and arts experiences. So Lotus's goal is to create global citizens through this exposure. And we think that especially when people are exposed at an early age and also exposed regularly to these musical experiences, that they will have a much better sense of the world they live in, not just their own community, but the wider world we live in, which as the world becomes smaller, meaning as we connect easier with global technology, I think this idea is going to be help us be citizens of the world, not just of our community.
Mm-hmm. And in Lotus Blossoms, as you mentioned, I think it's been going on like 25 years now.
It has over 25 years now. And what started as a one-day bazaar with local artists, local artisans coming in and sharing their crafts or local musicians coming in, now is this four-week experience that still includes the bazaar, but it's much broader. And so, again, it's really a big part of our mission. And then we've also expanded to do year-round programming. This summer, mm-hmm. we are doing programs in our fire bay that include workshops with Boys and Girls Club mm-hmm. and also workshops with the Banneker Community Center with their summer camps. So we're bringing children into the fire bay to learn. Right now they're learning how to make a cuiro, which is kind of a rattle that is used in Latin music. And so we're trying to expand our year-round programming, which we can do because we have a fire bay. We have a space to do that in.
Yeah, yeah, congratulations. Now, but you mentioned the fire bay and some of the programming. Now, that's a space that's available for community, individuals, nonprofits to rent for events, correct?
It is indeed. And we've already had, we only opened, or should I say reopened the doors in May, in late May. Mm-hmm. And we've already had two rentals. Someone had a wedding party there. We had, so it's multifunctional. It's a really mm-hmm. nice space. The doors can open wide. So again, mm-hmm. it's good for COVID if you want that safe feeling of doors mm-hmm. opening.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be a nice intimate space for anything like that.
We also recently got a projector system set up. Experience Technology put that up for us. So you can have a PowerPoint. You can watch a movie. You can rent the space for a movie for your friends and family. There's really a lot of options for that space mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that with the projection system. So again, if you have performers, you can help them set up sound systems, small stages, things like that in there too, correct?
Correct. Yep. It's a wonderful multi-purpose room.
That sounds great. So talk a little bit more, you know, you've mentioned the pandemic a couple times, and of course, I'm sure that's had an impact on your organization like everybody else. What are some ways that you found that you've had to change or adapt or modify programming to deal with that?
Yes. Well, everyone by now is probably familiar with virtual streaming. And so last year for the festival, most of the festival was virtually streamed. Some of it was live streamed. Some of it was pre-recorded material that we streamed to the audience for the first time with some new artists. But live streaming has become a real part, an underpinning of a festival. Mm-hmm. And even this year, when we plan to be live, we will also have a live stream component because it doesn't seem wise to plan one without it. So mm-hmm. there will be that. But I think another thing we found, especially for workshop participation, we created packets both for the festival and then for Blossoms this year, where we had many, many different community partners come in and create material. Sometimes they'd create a video, but create material like instructions for how to build a yurt on paper, or as an example, or just to build some kind of instrument like a rain stick. So mm-hmm. we had lots of community partners give us those instructions. We created packets with as many as 48 pages so that people could pick up these packets. They could find a few identifying videos online or connecting videos online, but then enjoy learning about different cultures and different arts experiences they could have within a culture through this packet. So this was a way for us to get this out to kids in the community, to adults in the community, to somehow make life a little bit richer in this weird pandemic world.
No, I think that sounds great. And in fact, you know, having those packets available, you know, again, teachers are always looking for resources. And of course, during the pandemic, a lot of parents were homeschooling. So I think having that resource and the live streaming available during that time was really special and important for a lot of people.
Yeah, we have had great response to that. I think for the festival, we did 1,000 packets. For Blossoms this year, we did 2,500, so more than doubled. And that was partly because we saw the response, and mm-hmm. every one of these packets has gone out. And we've had a wonderful opportunity to connect to groups we haven't worked with that much, like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, mm-hmm. and The Rise at Middleway House. It's been mm-hmm. really wonderful.
Mm. Now that sounds really great. And I can imagine too that the kids, when they experience things like that, probably share those things with their families.
Yes, or that is our hope. And sometimes, especially for the festival last year and somewhat for Blossoms this year, we have had, we've asked people to share photographs. What are you doing? Where are you doing it? And that's been a fun little social media exercise to get some reports of how you are using what you found in the packet.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you had mentioned, you know, trying to plan the festival for this year. And, you know, of course, and maybe you could talk a little bit about what the Lotus World Music and Arts Festival is, in case somebody's not from the area or new, but talk a little bit about that. And then I'll kind of talk a little bit about how you're planning it.
So the Lotus World Music and Arts Festival is a component of the Lotus Education and Arts Foundation, which some people refer to as LEAF, but LEAF doesn't tell enough about what Lotus does. So I really like people knowing exactly what we are and what we do. Mm-hmm. The festival itself happens usually in late September, most times the last weekend of September. We always have to work it in between football games, IU football games. but the festival seeks to bring usually around 25 to 30 artists to Bloomington to perform at tents and churches and the Busker Cumley Theater in the space downtown. It's a walkable festival, so you can go from one venue to the other. People buy a wristband that gets into any of those venues. Now, with COVID this year, and even with how we had to punt last year, we kind of made a few changes to say, well, I don't know, will people be ready to come back? Will they be willing to mingle? What's actually going to happen this summer? Is the Delta variant going to expand? We have no, so that's why we're planning one live stream component. We are planning on two tents because being outside seems wonderfully safe. Mm-hmm. We will use the Busker Cumley Theater because it's, again, a great gathering space. And we hope to have an additional space, one of the churches at least, for those small intimate gatherings. We sometimes have groups that are completely unknown to audiences here, but their music soon becomes a fan favorite. You travel around, you get to hear them, and then the next night you say, oh, I've got to come back for these guys. Mm-hmm. So that's the general layout of the festival.
No, it sounds like a good plan. I know you mentioned some of these lesser known bands or, you know, that maybe have followings in other countries, but not here yet necessarily. Talk a little bit about how do you find those people? Like, you know, how do you decide what groups, you know, to select or identify or which ones to showcase?
That is a great question, Denise, because so often I get submissions daily, and I'm not kidding, daily, saying, hey, we'd like to play your festival. So we look at several things. We look at showcase ability. In other words, many of the artists who come here are people who have showcased at other world music expos where you can have a look at them and go, yes, they really know how to relate to a crowd. Sometimes you can hear music that is beautiful, but when the artist comes in person, they're not they're not so great at connecting with the audience. So we want people who connect with the audience. So that's our first way. Secondly, we have agents we've worked with for years, and sometimes we'll say, hey, we're looking for some tube and throat singers. There's not as many of those touring as maybe there would be Scandinavian fiddlers. And so we'll say, do you have anyone? And sometimes they will know because the agents are often the people first out in the field, first to find someone. So and then we'll ask friends. Friends will say, hey, have you heard this band? We'll always give a listen, but we don't always respond because there's more submissions than places at the festival. But it's a multifaceted way that we collect. We always want to make sure that the artists we bring will really bring substance and enthusiasm and contagion to the festival in terms of energy and musical ability too. So
multifaceted. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's great how in the past, I know you've really showcased the personal stories of some of the artists that have had some really interesting experiences, you know, either with political justice situations in their homeland or, you know, just even trying to get out and travel.
Yeah. And I think so sometimes people say, is that your mission? Are you wanting to be politically active? And we want to support artists who are doing work. We've had Palestinian artists. We've had Mexican-American artists talking about the border. I think Frontera Boogaloo did a great job of telling the story just as their lived experience. We want to bring artists who come from other parts of the world where political upheaval is happening and where they can just speak to the experience because it's informative. It helps you understand the world where you may not know as much about. And we also try to have a really broad cross-section of artists because you don't know maybe some people know more about Asia and some people know less about Africa, or maybe just different parts of the world having great representation. So yes, that's an important component, even if we are not overtly a political organization, we're a musical organization.
Absolutely. Now, of course, you know, doing something that big, I'm sure volunteers are an important part every year.
Yes, indeed. And we're actually having a volunteer party. We didn't get to have one last year. We're having a volunteer party July 22nd. And normally the volunteer party is just for people who have volunteered in the previous year. But of course, very few people were able to volunteer last year. Mm-hmm. So our volunteer party this year will be for everyone who volunteered in 2019 and for those who volunteered in 2020. So we really want to bring people back. We know that for some, it'll be a little uncomfortable coming back. They're not quite ready. And we will require volunteers to be vaccinated because it's mm-hmm. the only safe way we can put, mm-hmm. we don't want to put anyone at risk. So, I mean, they still get to make the choice whether they volunteer again, but we will require vaccination for all volunteers.
Wonderful. If anybody's interested in volunteering, are there going to be opportunities this year for new volunteers to join?
Absolutely. Our volunteer application goes live on July 1st. And it'll be posted on our website. I should also say, Denise, that we have a brand new website. We worked with Fresh Figs Marketing to really redo our website to make it a little easier on the eyes. Mm-hmm. All the information is there, just stored in different places. Mm-hmm. And it also works better on a phone, which it was a complaint we often got. We can't find anything when we look on our phone. So it's been beautifully redone and we hope people visit it. So the application can be found there. There's a button for volunteering. It's that important.
Great. And what is the website address?
The website address is lotusfest.org. Lotus, like LOTUS, mm-hmm. FEST, lotusfest.org.
Perfect. And talk a little bit, you know, if people are interested in volunteering for the festival, what kinds of things do volunteers do? And you're probably going to say, what don't they do, right?
I should start there. What don't they do? But volunteers do a lot of the planning of the festival, the infrastructure, where tents will go, how they'll be set up. They help the artists, help take care of artists when they come because we have to feed them and we have to take them around town. So the infrastructure there, volunteers help to staff the entry and exit points of our tents and indoor venues because we want to make sure that people have purchased the tickets, so they're wearing a wristband. Mm-hmm. Volunteers work in the arts camp. We have a free Lotus in the Park, which this year will be at Switchyard Park. Volunteers will help at the Arts Pavilion, helping attendees do the art projects that different partners bring to the table, literally. And so volunteers they set up and they tear down the very end of the night, Saturday night, the festival. You see a big crew out on the street picking things up, cement blocks and small tents, and all of those things have to be gathered at the end of the evening. So we have a festival store where artist CDs are sold and artist merchandise, and also our t-shirt. We have a beautiful new volunteer t-shirt and a new festival t-shirt this year. The designs will be shared. The volunteer t-shirt will be shared at the volunteer party, the design, and the festival t-shirt and artist will be shared at the Summer Night of Lotus. So we have these exciting things to unfold.
No sneak hints yet, huh?
No sneak hints. We kind of have been thinking, how do we make pack a punch for this year? We're trying to pack a punch.
Not even going to leak the color, huh?
Well, or maybe I should say the colors.
Oh, all right. There now. Yeah. That'll get people intrigued.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit too, and of course, you know, all these great activities and bringing artists here, and a lot of that, you know, a lot of that is sponsored and underwritten. And of course, Lotus is a nonprofit organization and all your activities are nonprofit. So if people, you know, are listening or interested, talk a little bit about how they can help support their organization.
Okay, so of course, Lotus has ways for people to give on a regular basis. You can find how to sign up to be a regular, like a monthly donor on our website. You can also support Lotus by buying a ticket. I mean, we want mm-hmm. people to come to Summer Night of Lotus. Mm-hmm. We want them to come to the festival, support the events we do. And then, of course, you can underwrite, you can sponsor events such as the festival. We are just getting a new development director in. She starts next week. We're so excited because, of
course,
yeah, thank you. It's the big things and the little things, but this mm-hmm. development position, we're happy to have someone new starting. And so there are ways to give gifts of all sizes. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of monthly donors, but we also have people who they want to see something happen. They want to fund a need. For instance, Summer Night of Lotus, we'll only be talking about $100 helps someone, helps an artist come to your school. $100 mm-hmm. funds an activity at the Fire Bay. There are all mm-hmm. kinds of ways that people can support the programming that we do. And mm-hmm. and at low levels, entry levels, and also at very high levels, we're grateful for every single gift.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Yeah, so what are some things that the Fest, the Summer Night's going to be supporting for your funding needs? So you've mentioned like classroom visits for Blossoms. What other kinds of things are in need now?
In need right now, I mean, I should just say, I think many arts organizations are just short of funds. And that's mostly because of lack of ticket revenue. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we are doing is to make renting the Fire Bay more affordable, we're funding a need to help someone rent the Fire Bay. And this is not to actually absolve them of rent, but it, liability insurance. We buy this, mm-hmm. this umbrella policy to help us rent, mm-hmm. make liability affordable, because otherwise that can be a stopping point. And because we want artists mm-hmm. and community members to feel free to rent the Fire Bay, that's one of the things we'll be funding. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, in terms of Blossoms, it's just visits that we do out in the community. It is not only schools. We go to Belle Trace, we go to Meadowood, we go to Redbud, we'll go to Stone. I was trying to think, we had a couple of recent places. Remember, we didn't go out last year. So sometimes we're right. Like, oh, yes, there's so many places where a visit from a Lotus artist would mean the world.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so people can help sponsor, support that if that's something that interests
yes,
them.
Right.
Great. So best way, again, probably get on the new shiny website, lotusfest.org.
To see what's happening, but also to sign up for our e-news. Our e-news mm-hmm. week comes out weekly. I think before the pandemic, it came out irregularly, maybe every 3 weeks, but irregularly. Now we make a point to do it weekly, because then if someone wants to say, what's new this week at Lotus, they'll get mm-hmm. the information. So yeah.
Wonderful. Well, that sounds really great. So again, look at lotusfest.org. You can get signed up for your e-news. You can get your volunteer application, which will be out by now, and get lots of information about all the great things that are coming up.
Yeah. We really want to see the community come back out. I mean, I think we all do. We're ready for it. And mm-hmm. but we also want to do it safely. So we're trying to have the track of virtual along with the track of live.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense, and I think everybody is looking forward to having some things like that be back to normal. Wonderful. Well, Tamara, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. A lot of exciting things going on, and we hope that your summer events go really well, and look forward to seeing you in the fall.
Thank you so much, Denise. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. Well, this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.